You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
This morning, I have the privilege to introduce our speaker, our campus pastor, Greg Hasseloff. As many of you know, I have the special honor of calling him Dad. That may seem shocking to you. Same name, same face. He has served here in college ministry since 2008. Throughout the past 16 years, I've watched him fall deeper into love and fondness for the unique students here at Asbury. Over the past 2 years, I've not only seen but experienced the pure joy as his eyes light up when I name the faculty and students that he's grown to love here. I've watched as he cherishes the relationships he builds through small groups on campus, all the way to waving hello across Reisner Green. I've learned Greg time is in fact genetic. I've also learned through Greg time that human relationship is far more important and kingdom oriented than getting to the next place that I'm going. I can assure you that the love, delight, and presence that my dad walks with is truly the heartbeat of Christ that administration, faculty, and staff hold so dearly towards students. I'm beyond grateful today to also grow in deep love for this community. If you're looking for any ways to show my dad love in return, go ahead and buy him a good old Dr. Pepper and turn on a Cowboys game. As he comes to speak today, each sermon this semester will map back to one frame of our chapel mission. Today, Greg will emphasize hands of service. Hands of service is godly wisdom overflowing as acts of service for neighbor, orphan, widow, and sojourner. Will you enter into prayer with me? Go ahead and bow your heads. Dear God, thank you so much for this space and time today to meet together. We're so grateful for those who have traveled to come visit us today and see the joyful community that we have here on campus. I pray over the depth of this semester that we're hitting, as each week feels like a new wave of just exciting trials and challenges. Lord, I just pray over each step as we walk into today, and I pray over the words that you've given Greg to speak with us and share with us. Again, thank you for letting us enter this space and just learning new ways to bring you glory in our acts of service each and every day. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Ellie, I'm so grateful that you're a stellar vice president of Spiritual Life Board. I'm so grateful to have you as an oldest daughter. And today I'll even take our family genetics as a compliment. And parents that are here in the front of sophomore section, every now and then we get blamed a little bit for genetics, don't we? So it's Friday. We're going to see if any pictures pop up here on the screen. You guys had fall break last weekend. My two younger kids had fall break 2 weeks ago. We were in Boston. So Fenway Park, first visit for Isaac. He was incredibly thrilled. And so that was park number four in just like 5 months. So in June, where we were, let's see if it's going to come up. If you are a Georgia person, you know this park, home of the Braves. We were there in June. So in July, next, he had a baseball game at the top of Ohio. There you are. Any Cleveland fans in the room? Yes, there's some Guardians here, maybe. A little bit ashamed right now. So then in September, little home home crowd, we were with the Reds in September. So it was a great 20, let's go Reds. It was a great 2024 for Isaac. Little baseball starts tonight. Are you cheering for the East Coast, the New York Yankees? Are you cheering for the West Coast, Los Angeles Dodgers? Do you not care who wins? Love it. If you were born before 1980, I have a few friends in this room. You can finish this jingle. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. That's the jingle. It told us about the best kind of life growing up in the U.S. of A. It's like I can hear it like it was yesterday rolling through my head. As you are, many of you are visitors here today, we're finishing a Best Kind of Life series in chapel. And in John 10:10 is this juxtaposition. The thief comes to perpetually steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life, real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. And every time that you hear John 10:10 across this semester, you've been hearing this movement of the good news of Jesus. The Son of God exposes what the enemy comes to do, and Jesus longs for you to embrace what he has come to give us. This juxtaposition has been present in every message of the chapel series, from Dr. Baldwin kicking us off, exposing the snakes and the stones that are on the journey of life and inviting us to embrace the abiding grace of God. Dr. Brian Hull, not long after that, exposing the enslavement of perfectionism and inviting us to embrace the freedom of surrender. Prof. Rob Lim, just early last week, exposing the traps of regret, perfectionism, comparison, and inviting us to embrace the gift of trusting an unknown future to a known God. And Jeannie on Wednesday, exposing the temptation to control and giving us the invitation to embrace the practice of surrender that leads to more and better life. So this morning, we're going to tackle the best kind of life is not the prosperity gospel. It is daily bread. The abundant life is not about accumulating more stuff until you get enough. The best kind of life is about trusting that Jesus will be your daily bread. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "There are two ways to get enough. One is to continuously accumulate more and more until you get enough stuff. And the other way is to desire less stuff." Jesus, the creator of the universe, he knows your every need. Dr. Schell, thanks for leading us in the Lord's Prayer this morning. How many of you go to a church where you pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? How many of you go to a church that it's a frequent prayer for you? How many of you go to a church where you pray the Lord's Prayer several times a year? It does show up several times a year. How many of you in your kind of rhythm through the day or the week, in your own time with God, pray the Lord's Prayer one or more times a week? How many of you? I often find on the night that I'm restless and it's hard to fall asleep that I pray the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I fall asleep and I'm in the middle and I wake back up and I'm like trying to, okay, I'm going to finish this time. And I even wake up in the morning sometimes and I'm like, I think I stopped right there and I finally finish the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us this incredibly simple prayer. And we can take so much of it for granted until the day that the Holy Spirit brings a phrase directly to bear on your life. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Give us this day our daily bread. Is the best kind of life about me generating provision for my life, or is it Jesus providing daily bread? Can Jesus care for us like he does the birds of the air and the flowers of the field? Can he do it even better? So our scripture this morning is John chapter 6, starting with verse 25, and we're reading from the gospel. So if you'd stand for the reading of the word of God, John chapter 6, 10 verses starting with verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you that you are looking for me, not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then they ask him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And so they ask him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. My church growing up was a church where we prayed the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. And my high school years were not a time that I was walking with Jesus in a personal way. But I can remember this prayer forming me. "Give us this day our daily bread." I was in a middle-class family. My father was a farmer. Our needs were always met. But when I was 17, my father died. And what did that mean the year before I was headed to college? The breadwinner of my family was gone. And that year, following my father's death, and in the spring, I felt very supported through high school in a small town. And before I graduated that next spring, I received this agricultural scholarship for $8,000. I know for you guys, that's like one semester. But remember, this was back in the 1800s. And so back then it was a lot. And I cannot pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," without, in this mosaic of my own journey and my own story, in a piece of that mosaic, having that scholarship. What's in the mosaic for you when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Money, provision for school, it was something that God provided early on in college. But can I tell you something that God didn't provide? When I went off and spent my years in West Texas at Texas Tech, a girl. I was a dateless wonder across those 4.5 years. Slow, clueless. I was in this men's residence hall that was connected to a women's residence hall. We shared a cafeteria. And so in my mind, across the 4 semesters that I lived right there, I asked out about 50 girls. And that was the problem. It was in my mind that I asked out about 50 girls. That's a problem, guys, if it's only happening right here. I was not following Jesus during those 3 years of college, so it was kind of crazy what I remember about my sophomore year. Living in Myrtle Hall, eating in the cafeteria with the women from Stengel Hall. During that year, I heard a voice that was very simple. And some of you have heard this voice, but the voice was very simple to me in that second year of college. You have to want me more than you want a girl. You have to want me more than you want that relationship. And for youth theology majors, I call that the prevenient voice of God. And so 40 years later, I can't pray, give us this day our daily bread without seeing this mosaic of the faithfulness of God. And in his perfect timing, he called me into marriage. In John chapter 6, two scenes unfold before Jesus declares, I'm the bread of life. There's the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus walks on water. And when John starts writing this chapter, he states the Jewish Passover festival was near. And John's very purposeful in his writing. The direct linking to Passover is John intentionally connecting the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on the water, to the very first Passover, God delivering the Israelites in the book of Exodus. You know about the feeding of the 5,000. It was 5,000 men. The crowd is estimated to be about 20,000 with women and children. Doesn't it feel like an impossible question if Jesus were asking Philip, where can we buy bread for 20,000 people? We're not in the city, we're out in the countryside. It's almost like Andrew had this sarcastic answer. Here's a boy with five small loaves and a couple fish. How far do you think they could go to feed 20,000 people? This little boy had given everything he had. And Jesus took those five small barley loaves, those two fish, and he gave thanks. He was following Jewish practice that recognized that God was the source of all blessing, and he's praying, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, God of all creation. Through your goodness, we've received the bread that we offer to you, the fruit of the earth and the work of human hands. It will become the bread of life. Dr. Joe Donjell writes that through prayer, Jesus allowed the Father's power to flow through him to work miracles. 20,000 had enough to eat. Disciples picked up 12 baskets with pieces left over from five barley loaves. It's really fun to do math with those numbers, and you can come up with all kinds of great biblical math. And the crowds thought, surely this is the prophet that has come. And so how does this miracle connect back to the first Passover and to the 40 years of Moses with the Israelites in the wilderness? God validated Moses' leadership by supplying the Israelites with manna. How much more is he validating the lordship of Jesus with the miracle of the loaves and the fishes? God provided through Moses, and Moses was the leader through the first Passover when the Israelites were delivered from slavery. And Jesus is the new Passover. Moses led the first deliverance. Jesus is the new deliverer. And he's come to deliver you from the place that you've concluded that he is not enough. He's come to deliver us from the place that we don't believe there's enough. And so I wonder, where are you most desperate for daily bread? Is it time? Is it relationships? Is it money? Is it rest? I wonder, where is it hardest for you to trust that daily bread will come? Is it time? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it rest? After the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples were out on a boat. They were going across the lake. You know the story. A strong wind blew up. The waters were rough. You've been in that exact spot metaphorically, feeling like there's entirely too much on your plate and something rose the intensity of the wind. Something rose the intensity of the waves. Something crashes. It feels really hard. And when you think about how hard it is, you start thinking, this is bad. Hard is bad. Surely this isn't the best kind of life because it's not supposed to be what? This hard. Hard's not bad. Hard is hard. Hard is challenging. The disciples were in the boat. The winds were blowing hard. They were even freaked out when they saw him because in the hardness, they weren't exactly sure what they saw. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's me." And N.T. Wright says that all of John chapter 6 is about the Exodus. Jesus walking on the water reminds us what happened for the Israelites while they were escaping through the Red Sea, and there was raging water that was around them when it closed on their pursuers. There's a voice that rises through the waves and the wind and the hard that says, "It's me. Don't be afraid. I'm with you in the middle of it." Maybe bread has to be daily because that's how our dependency grows. Do you ever notice that where your dependency has grown, how free you are to serve? Where your dependency has been exercised and you know that you're in a place of trust, you become more free to look outward and to love well and to serve. If the best kind of life is daily bread, what's the juxtaposition? What is Jesus exposing? In John 25 to 26, Jesus says to the crowds that came to find him, "You're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You experienced your physical hunger being satisfied. You're looking for Jesus for no other reason than to physically prosper, for your stomachs to be fed, for what money does to create comfort. That's prosperity gospel." In Exodus 16, the Israelites ate manna for 40 years, and the Lord instructed Moses to save some of it for generations to come. And Dr. Dennis Kinlaw writes, "Inside the Ark of the Covenant, in the most holy place in the temple of Israel, there was a pot of manna. Every time the chief priest came in to meet with God, he stood in God's presence, but also in the presence of a pot of manna that was placed there to remind him that God provides for his people. The creator of the universe, he sees your every need and he fills our every need." Rich Mullins had a line in one of his many profound songs back in the 1800s. "The things of earth compete for the allegiance that we owe only to the giver of all good things. And so with the prosperity gospel, it doesn't matter who Jesus is, it matters what Jesus can do for you. But when Jesus identified that the crowd was coming to him because they had experienced their hunger being satisfied, he was pointing out a huge temptation. You will be tempted to depend on good things more than being dependent on the giver of all good things. Jesus says, work for the food that endures for eternal life. The crowds were following him, but they missed the real lesson. Jesus said, they didn't really perceive what had happened with the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And if they did, they would have done something far more to offer than to offer to make Jesus a king. They would have sought from Jesus something far greater than earthly bread, is what N.T. Wright says. There's only one work that Jesus said was the most important of all the works that you will ever do. Believe in the one that God has sent. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, never be looking for a source of life from somewhere else. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Don't give your allegiance to another source that promises to quench your thirst. When Brian Hull gave us a powerful picture a few weeks ago of surrender, with Moses throwing down his staff, it's an invitation from God to lay your life down. The invitation from John chapter 6 is different. It's to take something up, to receive. When you've laid it all down and your hands are open to receive the bread of life, take hold. Take hold of the bread of heaven, the creator of the universe knows your every need. Let's pray together. Father God, capture us, Father, with your promises. Lord Jesus, you are our provision. You meet us in segments of 24 hours a day. You meet us in time. You care for us more than you do the flowers of the field. You know our hunger for community and for relationship. And you invite us to come to you when we are weary. Lord, would you increase our hunger to match the crowds that stood on that hillside, that we would daily ask, sir, give us that bread. The bread that gives life to the world, give us that bread. We pray together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.